John McKenzie, Far North Queensland's number one, 4CA.
Well, if you're watching your screens last night, you would have heard about, the Prime Minister's response to the crisis out there at Alice Springs. There are real similarities with what's happening here. An interesting one was, we're noticing this huge number of people. It's one-way traffic from the outer communities into Alice Springs seeking accommodation, seeking housing. Well, that's seemingly what we're getting reports of here. Lots and lots of people now coming in from the communities around Cairns, arriving, needing accommodation, needing housing. And the report from a former government employee in that area just the other day came to me that they're not being required to justify the situation by giving information as to what happened to the accommodation they were living in the communities. So not having to account for homes that they've left and deserted seemed to be very improper indeed for this particular government former employee, and wanted to bring it to my attention. Now, I don't have information specifically from current employees within those departments, but if you're out there listening and you know what is going on, please let us know, because the housing situation in Cairns is absolutely critical. Now, here's an update today from the Courier-Mail. It says Queensland spends the least on social housing in the country. A damning new report from the Productivity Commission has found the new figures show the net recurrent spend on social housing in Queensland was $130 per person in 21-22. The figures, which exclude capital expenditure, put the Sunshine State well behind the average spend across the country of $178 per person, and indeed $386 per person in the ACT. So quite clearly, there's a real issue here. The same data also showed Queensland's capital expenditure on social housing hit $314 million for the last financial year, down from $327 million in the previous year, and $414 million back in 2017-18. So at a time when we've got this critical shortage, it seems the spending is in reverse, if you like, is in decline in that particular area. I put a call through to the LNP state member for Everton, who happens to be the Shadow Minister for Housing and Public Works, Tim Mander. Morning, Tim.
Good morning, John.
It's bizarre up here. You've got incredible housing or accommodation shortages. And then we find out, well, in social housing, the expenditure by this Queensland government's in reverse.
Well, the galling thing, John, is that the current state Labor government continues to make these sort of grand announcements about social housing, but the results, independent results, this one you're reporting is from the Productivity Commission, the Auditor General, the Queensland's own Auditor General, late last year, said similar things, that we're not only not keeping up the pace with the demand, but we're coming dead set last across the country. Yeah. And you've got states like Tasmania that are spending twice the amount per person. ACT, which you've quoted, is three times the amount. But this government keeps crowing that, you know, they're doing these fantastic things. They talk about a $2 billion fund here and another multi-million dollar fund there. But the results show that that's just simply not the case. So over the last 9 years, John, the social housing property portfolio has increased by less than 2%. Mm-hmm. And we all know that the social housing waiting list has absolutely exploded, a 70% increase. Mm. So it's galling when the government treats us like fools and expects us to accept all this smoke and mirrors and this spin, where when independent groups come in and do the assessment, they go, well, hang on, we're just trailing the rest of the country in a really bad way. And the point you make is really relevant, is that housing is often, or lack of housing, is a major contributor to crime.
Exactly.
And to youth crime. Exactly. Specifically. Mm. And you're right, Cairns has been at the forefront of both these issues over the last, we've been going on about this for about 6 or 7 years. I remember when I was the shadow police minister. And we would talk about the connection between these two issues. And it definitely has not got better. It's got worse. And that's clearly unacceptable.
Well, especially when you're talking about, what is it, less than 2%, what, last 9 years or whatever, and then the needs have increased by 70%, which brings me to the question, what happens to these people that can't get access to social housing? What's the impact on the ground, for example, up here in Townsville and Cairns and Mareeba?
Well, it's got a cascading effect. So if you don't have enough housing for our most vulnerable, social housing, they've then got to go somewhere else. And that those options are either the private rental market, or basically homelessness services. Or, you know, people are literally in parks and sleeping in cars and couch surfing. But John, as you know, the private rental market has the lowest vacancy rates right across Queensland in history.
Yes,
ever. Mm. It's like 0.5% vacancy rate, where the healthy vacancy rate is should be about 3.5%. And so there was a story in the media last week about the number of landlords, people that were landlords, that have got out of the private rental market. They're not putting their houses in the private rental market anymore, because why would they, when the government treats them like they're demons and brings in all these laws that make it more and more difficult to be a landlord, not being able to get rid of difficult tenants, not being able to have a choice on whether you want a pet in your property or not, and a whole range of other impositions. Mm. So all these policies, you know, have a contributing effect to putting pressure on housing, whether it's social housing, whether it's the private rental market, whether it's affordable housing, or whether it's just trying to buy a house for the first time.
Mm. You know, you talk about the impact of such matters on behaviour, particularly among young people and children in some cases. Our stolen car rate went up from the previous year, last year, 780 to 1,300, Tim Mander, in 12 months. Crime in this town is totally out of control. We used to be well behind Townsville. Now we're actually ahead of them in the stolen car ratings. And we're seemingly seeing absolutely nothing done to stem the tide.
No. And again, well, what have we got now? They've just announced late last year a 10-point plan. Before that, they had a 5-point plan. Before that, they had another 5-point plan. Before that, they had a 3-point plan. Nothing this government has tried to implement has worked. And I'm sorry, but I'm a cynic with this stuff. I just can't help thinking that they produce these things on the back of an envelope in about a 24, 48-hour period after this pressure from the media, and they come up with these plans that won't mean anything.
Exactly.
John, why would doubling or increasing the maximum sentence that you can be in prison for... Mm. How would that have an impact when they don't imprison them at all now?
Yes.
they don't imprison them for the minimum period, let alone increasing it.
Yeah.
That's not a deterrent. That is simply smoke and mirrors to make it look like to the public they're being tough and, you know, we're going to crack down on these people. Well, they've been cracking down on these people, supposedly, for the last, you know, 9 years, and they've watered down the laws, and we're seeing the result of that now. And so, you know, you mentioned Townsville. It's sort of like the crisis started in Townsville.
Yes.
It then went to Cairns, and you're right. Cairns is now, unfortunately, probably surpassed what was happening in Townsville.
Yep.
Then it's crept into other places that normally wouldn't be a problem, like Harvey Bay, Gundawindi. You know, Lawrence Springborg's the mayor out there. He's talking about crime at Gundawindi. And then, then we hear about what's happening in Alice Springs. I can't help thinking that there's just this cascading, you know, consequential effect that's happening not just in our state, but now then going into other areas, and it's clearly unacceptable. John, I had a woman in my office yesterday for an hour who talked about having a home invasion, right, where she was in the house and her family were in the house, and we've spoken about this before, I know, and then these young people have come into their house. Mate, she is suffering from post-traumatic stress. She locks the bedroom doors, not just every other door in the house. They put all this security system in that's cost them thousands of dollars. She gets woken up during the night because the security system picks up people walking dogs. That's how sensitive it is, but she wants that. Now, this is happening right across the state. I know that your listeners have experienced that for far too long. Mm. It is unacceptable that people, law-abiding citizens, have to put up with this terror. Yeah, and that's what it is.
Exactly.
You know, unacceptable.
You've spoken very powerfully on this matter today, Tim. Thank you.
You're welcome, John.
That's Tim Mander. He's the LNP state member for Everton. But for the sake of this particular discussion, he's listed here as the Shadow Minister for Housing and Public Works.